Entrepreneurship Podcast with Bhairav Patel and Alan Clark.
Welcome to the Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast. My name is Bhairav Patel.
And I'm Alan Clark.
And so today we're talking about basically the wish list, the Christmas wish list for entrepreneurs for 2021. So if Santa's going to come to all the entrepreneurs out there, what should you be asking for? So Alan, I know you've got some items on your wish list.
Absolutely. I've got three things I think every budding entrepreneur should have on their Christmas wish list. Number one may seem a bit counterintuitive, given that resources are so important, but it's not to have access to easy money. To have to work hard to be able to raise the funds to allow them to do it.
Do you think there's lots of easy money sloshing around, though?
I think there has been this year.
Really?
There seems to be a lot of support out there, including simple things like, and this is not for startups, but for early trading businesses, things like bounce back loans that have allowed people to access money, and that's probably reasonable that they can do that and use that as working capital. But really what I'm pushing at here is, if the money is easy and there's not a challenge to raise the funding, that kind of a consequence of encouraging short-circuiting some of the really, really important stuff that entrepreneurs can really benefit from, which is things like really crafting their argument, crafting their pitch, making sure that they've done their own due diligence on what it is they intend to do and how they intend to do it before they either go to the bank or their parents or their friends or maybe an early stage investor to make that pitch for them. Because if they're not really, really clear on exactly what they plan to do, how they plan to do it, and how much it's going to cost, I've seen so many that have burnt through a reasonable amount of working capital and got nowhere. Nowhere that they couldn't have been without just sitting back and having done the work without spending any money.
So this is interesting. This is interesting because last Saturday I met someone the exact opposite of that. So his story was that he had a business where he was an executive driver, right? So he drove CEOs to the airport, or you know, high level execs around London or wherever it is they needed to be driven. And obviously his business tanked because of COVID. He took a few months off, and then obviously the bounce back loans came. He managed to get one for his business just to kind of carry on sustaining himself until he got through. But he was speaking to a friend of his who had a number of stores around London. And managed to get bounce back loans for each of his stores, but then had an excess of capital. So he basically said to this guy who just was a driver, said, well, I'm in the food business. I have excess money. You have no job. Why don't I invest in you to go and do this? And so he got like the money just like that. And then within 3 months, they opened up like a food outlet locally. And I asked him, I said to him exactly that. I said, so what was the plan? Like, did you have a plan? Do you know how much it's going to cost? And he goes, no, we know. Basically, he did the rough figures. What, like, because the other guy is in the food industry as well. So he had some idea of sales. They knew the location of the shop. The shop was previously a food outlet. So they kind of had some indications of what it was. But he said, I didn't really look at those books before. I just kind of, with the business partner I had, we just made some rough projections, didn't really have a plan, but said, yeah, it's a bit of a goer. Let's give it a go. And so they did it in like 4 months, which is complete opposite of what you're saying.
And 4 months into it, it's trading well?
Oh, it took them 3-4 months to refit everything and obviously COVID. So I think he's opened up actually this week.
I'm delighted that can happen. And under the circumstances of this year, who would begrudge anyone the opportunity to grab an opportunity and go for it? What interests me is, a year, 2 years down the line, is that business levering a return on that capital it was put in? Is it trading successfully? Or will it be looking back thinking, we made a few basic errors at the beginning. With a little bit more thinking and a little bit more planning, we might have avoided. And of course, there are entrepreneurs, there are businesses that fly on the flimsiest of plans. But why is it that if you go for any kind of meaningful investment, that the angels of the private equity firm say, we want to see 3 years detailed financial projections. We want to see a business plan. We want to understand the market validation work that you've done. We want to understand the team that you're putting together for this. That's because businesses that do that, with decades and millions of investment experiences, are much more likely to succeed than those that fly by the seat of their pants. And it doesn't mean those that fly by the seat of their pants can't succeed. It means it massively reduces the risk to have done that work. And that's my driver behind not having too easy an access to the funds to start the business.
So this is interesting because I think there's a differentiation between, let's say, businesses that are created because for the need to survive and businesses that are created because of a desire to fulfill an ambition or something. Yeah. So I put the guy I was talking to in Family the First pot, right? He basically he wasn't getting any income. This came up. He said, let's just do it and let's go for it and not think too hard and then deal with it as we go along. Whereas I think from the other category of people, yeah, I agree that you kind of need to sit there and make sure that you've planned everything out correctly and you've understood the risks.
And you know, this brings us back to something Svetlana mentioned in the podcast 5 or 6 ago, which is around what is an entrepreneur? And is there a difference between an entrepreneur and somebody who is self-employed? And at the global level, I would say, not really. Anybody that says, I'm going to go out and create an economic entity that generates income and provides for my ambition is an entrepreneur. But there's absolutely a difference between the people that go out and do it on a small sole trader, selling their craft, selling their skill, selling their technical ambition or their technical ability, and somebody that wants to create and grow a scalable business. And sure, that former group, all they may need is a van and a toolkit. And I don't belittle that. You know, there's lots of people doing really well with them, getting everything they want from that. There's another level where they actually need to scale up and just grow a business and understand that they can't achieve that from self-generated funds.
See, now this is where I think, I'm not so good to differ with you, but I think this is an interesting point. So the first thing on my list would be for entrepreneurs to be given more graft or more hustle. So the way, when I was talking to this guy about it was a chicken shop that he's opening up, right? So he's opening up a chicken shop next to a railway station opposite a student accommodation. So it's pretty much, you can't really. Yeah, it's a winner. There's lots of different other shop, little food outlets there. So, you know, okay. So I wouldn't say it's a nailed on business, but it's pretty, you're pretty kind of guaranteed to get some footfall, right? And straight away, he had hired 10 people. So even before he's, you know, sold a chicken, he's actually employed 10 people, so like paying 10 wages. So his scaling has happened massively. And then, you know, he was talking to me about, you know, if this goes well, we can plan other stores around the UK. So his ambitions were bigger. And he just got off his ass and did it. And, you know, I was full kudos to him. I said, look, you know, well done, man. You know, you got up there, you did it. You saw an opportunity, seized it. And you're thinking, you know, far in advance. And he's got, you know, if his other business does pick up again and people want to be driven around, you know, he's got a plan for that as well. And I think that's the thing. I think a lot of the times when you're looking at the entrepreneurs that maybe we see in the world where they've got a nice idea or they've got like this product that they want to change the world, there's a lot of thinking involved, right? And maybe there's too much thinking. Maybe it is the fact that, well, they just get up off your ass and start doing it. one thing. And maybe that's the thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly, I remember being put to me that when you come to starting a business that involves some form of invention, that the analogy is the men in sheds tinkering on their invention. At some point, you've got to open the doors, shove it out, and turn the engine on and find out if it flies or not. And that's where lots of people can spend too long tinkering without actually getting it out to fly. So I agree with that, absolutely. That, you know, at some point you've just got to get off and do it. Which I guess leads me into my second Christmas wish, which is that all entrepreneurs should have somebody who is willing to sit down with them and ask the really hard questions, to challenge their thinking hard and have those really uncomfortable conversations, either about kill it or stop talking about it, get out and do it.
Right. So I interviewed a fascinating person this week. It was a great interview. And, you know, one of the things he said, he created like a multi-million pound business at the age of 19, right? And one of the things he said, and he's learned at the age of 30, is that his ego got in the way. And that's why he failed. His ego got in the way. So I guess my counter to that would be that if you're an entrepreneur, then a bit of humility will go a long way.
Yeah.
But the question to you is that, you know, how you can hire a coach, but if you're not going to listen to them, what's the point? And a lot of people do hire, you know, or have people around them that just echo their own thoughts. So,
and that's not someone who's going to ask you the really hard questions, who's willing to have the uncomfortable conversations, who's really going to challenge you hard and put you in the spot and actually force answers, make you commit. And if it's not that, if all you have is people around you that are full of platitudes and you know, I'm minded of, I run a youth football team. I mean, the kids were wee. There was a balance between positivity and reality. And I remember one game having been beaten 8-0. One of the mums shouting, "Well done, boys, that was brilliant." And me inside going, "No, it wasn't. If they ever think that that was brilliant, then they're never going to succeed in anything. What it is a learning opportunity. And we have to understand why were they so much better." And you can do that positively and constructively. But absolutely, the world is not all roses. And sometimes one just has to sit down and face the harsh reality.
I doubt people's ability to do that, though. I doubt people's ability to actually bring those people on board, because generally, a lot of times that you meet, especially young entrepreneurs, they don't really want to hear it. They don't feel that they need that advice.
And do they then become that 60% of new businesses that fail in the first 2 years? You know, I'm in the middle of a project right now with a vastly experienced businessman. You know, he's 40 years in the food and beverage industry, and he's having to, I was almost going to say pivot, but I know that's not a good word with you. He's having to change his business model because it's all about workplace, food and bev. And as he recognises, workplaces are not going to be the same moving forward. But, and you know, that's an interesting point about young people and humility and experienced people and humility. I have basically just had a really interesting conversation over three-hour sessions, as a result of which he said, "You know what? I'm ripping up that plan. There's going to be a new way of doing this." Because now that we've really thought long and hard, he had the confidence to say, "Maybe I wasn't right. Maybe I need to change this."
But that takes experience, right? I think it's only after.
Well, I'm not sure it takes experience. I think it takes humility.
Well,
I think it takes the ability to be able to sit down and say, "I am not arrogant enough to think everything I think is right. I'm willing, you know, another, you know, tip for entrepreneurs, you've got one mouth in 2 years, use them in that proportion.
Yeah, I guess the other thing, I would say a pet hate of mine, but the thing that kind of annoys me slightly sometimes is when I talk to people and they say, oh, I don't know anything about this. Well, I don't know anything about it. Well, typically, it's obviously technology, right? But I had one person who came to me, oh, I don't know anything about technology, but I've built my own machine learning model and I've now created a low-code app. And I'm like, well, what? It's like, of course you then do know. Oh, no, I don't know anything about this. And then when you tell them something, they'll question it. And you're like, okay, well, yeah. Do you know or do you not know? Do you want advice or do you not want advice? And is that false? I guess maybe that's false humility, or maybe it's just people not really under, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. So what else is on your wish list for entrepreneurs at Christmas?
So something that has been a little, obviously been, as we're going through scaling and growing, and actually based on a couple of podcasts I did this week, I think having the right employees or the right people around you within the business, not necessarily outside of the business, but within the business. Uh-huh. I think a good Christmas gift would be to ensure that you have, let's say, good lieutenants within the business. Because without mm-hmm. that, you are not going to be able to let go of the work that you do. You know, you're not going to be able to delegate, you're not going to be able to free yourself up to do the strategic things or the things that, you know, make the business yours and grow.
Does that feed into having the ability to do what's really important rather than what you really enjoy?
Yeah, I guess there's that. It's also, you know, it's that, again, one of these things I was talking to someone about this week. It's, you know, working on the business, not just in the business. Absolutely. And as you go, you know, you need to start working on the business more than you work in the business as time goes by. And I think that's the key. But it's very hard for a lot of people because they don't have the support network, or they don't trust, or they can't delegate. And so I think that is something I think everyone should have on their wish list, either the ability to delegate or the ability to find someone who can take the burden.
So that's about simply good people around you, both from my perspective, which is somebody that can challenge and promote, make you feel uncomfortable, but also in your team, people that you know that you can rely on.
Yes. Yes. And then actually ensuring that you keep them, which is the other thing, right?
Yeah.
Making sure that you have a way of incentivizing them so they don't go.
Well, my third and final bobble on that Christmas tree for those who are either starting their business or are in the relatively early stages, or actually maybe the more advanced stages of developing their business. And by this, let me just put on the table right now, I don't mean Breaking Bad stuff here, but it is a great big dose or pill of energy and resilience that when the inevitable happens and it all starts getting really hard, for whatever reason, you can go and tap into and just give themselves that boost that will get them over the next stage, the next hurdle.
So do you think 2021 is going to be harder than 2020?
Oh, wow. No, I don't think it'll be any harder. I think when you're in the early stages of a business or when you're growing a business, seldom is it easy. Seldom is it straightforward. And while everybody may have shared a common enemy this year, usually you have your own enemy to battle at any stage of time. I think also when you look at it, there's a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of companies who have had an unbelievable COVID boost this year because it was just a desire and demand to grab lots of new stuff. And not for a moment am I suggesting these people didn't deserve what they reaped, but it may have been that they were just in the right place at the right time. And maybe for them, next year may be more challenging as the world settles down to a new equilibrium. But equally, I think there'll be a lot of people who either they're idea or their business may not have survived 2020 in the form that it was in, or those who have struggled through and just about got by may find that by embracing the new world, whatever that is, I'm not sure I know yet what the new world is going to look like. There'll be great opportunities in there for them to rekindle either their enthusiasm in a new business or rekindle the business they have that is just getting by right now.
And I think with the dreaded B word coming up, resilience and energy is exactly what's needed, right? I think there's still a whole bunch of gotchas with Brexit that will come up.
Well, the whole B word is just seems incredible where we are right now. No, almost incredible, but unsurprising, because the history of the EU is last second deals. And here we are on the 19th of December, and we don't have a deal. I believe there will be peace in our time will be held up before the 31st of December. Problem there is it'll be months or years too late for those that are going to face the short-term consequences.
Mm.
And yeah, the very fact that on television I'm seeing ads saying Brexit is about to happen, make sure you're prepared. Well, no, too late. If you're not prepared now, too late to do anything. Then you're never going to be ready.
I've got to say, Scotland's done a better job than England of helping businesses. So, you know, through FinTech Scotland, I received an email the other day that, you know, basically it's just a one pager that has links to everything you need to know for different problems that you might face, which is so much easier to navigate than what GovUK is doing in England and Wales. It's horrible what they've done. But what the Scots government has done is really just lay it all out. Like, these are the things you need to know.
Well, the companies I work with, their major issues are not exporting their products and services, it's importing raw materials.
Yeah.
And every one of them has just built up a big stockpile on the basis that we probably will go into an import lockdown almost for the first quarter of next year. So we don't have the resources on site. We won't be doing whatever it is we need to do. I also heard stories last week about raw material prices going through the roof, caused simply by the simplicity of economic supply and demand and price being the bit in the middle that's a variable.
You know, someone said to me ages ago, it must have been a year or so ago, and we were in Asia, and I think he's an exporter. And he goes to me, you know, what the Brits don't understand is that, you know, when we're manufacturing in China, yes, you might want to have different rules and regulations in the UK, standards, whatever it is, right? He goes, but when we're manufacturing, you know, a million pieces of something, no one is going to manufacture 20 containers just for the UK, right? Because that's the whole point. You know, we've got this manufacturing line that does the same thing to the EU standards, or the standards that we know that we can sell because that's the biggest market. So you could do what you want, but we're still going to produce them in this way. Because unless you want us to stop, change the machines and do it all completely differently.
For me, in my lifetime, this is a great example of making a decision without understanding the consequences of the decision we made. And I think you're absolutely right. Tails don't wag dogs. We will continue to consume products and services to EU standard forever. Does it make sense? It's not worth changing it for the UK. Sure, there'll be some bits that we can, some suppliers will be willing to play about with, but I'm not sure it'll make a massive difference to Joe Public.
No. And I think, I was listening to the David McWilliams podcast. Says an Irish economist, and I think I mentioned him before. It's a great podcast, twice a week. And he was talking, so he interviewed a lecturer at Brown University, a Scottish guy, talking about Brexit and the effect on Scotland. So that was interesting. And essentially his view is that within 5 to 10 years, there will be a referendum. Scotland will, if it can find the right solution to things like currency and currency and actually raising capital on the market, open on the bond markets, then Scotland will leave. And then it has a knock-on effect for Northern Ireland, right?
The feeling I have on that subject is that increasingly there's a view in Scotland which is, well, we can't really do it any worse than the UK is doing it right now. And that's not exactly a ringing endorsement for the positives of independence. But I think the reality is that I think if there was a vote right now, Scotland would vote for independence.
Yeah, there's a demographic shift as well. And what I didn't realise, because we've been doing a lot of work recently with the NHS, and what struck me is that the UK isn't really the UK when you actually lift the lid up. So funnily enough, we work with, we're creating a new app for a charity, and part of that is using NHS login. So setting up the NHS login. NHS login is only available in England. It's not available in Wales, not available Northern Ireland or Scotland. And
this is part of the whole chaos right now of what you're allowed to do where.
Yeah.
Because England, I believe, has got 3 tiers. Scotland has got 4 tiers. So tier 1 is different. Tier 2 is different in each area. And there's no joined up thinking because it's in nobody's real interest to join up the thinking.
So I think that it's interesting. And I think a lot of people don't really understand the actual practicalities of how this union works, right? And it is a union, so it's interesting. And just to reiterate on your point, I think I would say the same thing when it comes to the third wish is really for entrepreneurs at this Christmas to be able to relax, have some time off, and actually I would say take advantage of the fact that you can't have visitors during Christmas and just take the time off and don't do Zoom calls, don't do any of that, just chill, disconnect.
So am I right in thinking that our wishes for entrepreneurs at Christmas is good people, a bit of humility, doing the job well, doing the job thoroughly, and chill out.
Definitely. Have you done your budget this year?
No.
Ah, and budget.
I don't practice what I preach.
This is the thing, isn't it?
You honestly ask me that question. In any seriousness.
Well, yeah, because I'm only just finishing mine at the moment.
All laid out, I can tell you exactly where I expect to be this time next year. But there's one thing for sure, I wouldn't be there. I might be near it, but yeah. I wouldn't be on that spot. Well, with that, I think that brings to an end Entrepreneurship Podcast for this year. So from me, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Yes,
to everybody that tunes in, and thanks for your support.
Yes, sorry to interrupt. Yes, same for me. I hope you all guys have a Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, relax, eat too much food and drink too much booze or lemonade, whatever your preference is.
Absolutely. Bye, everybody.
Cheers.
The Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast with Byrav Patel and Alan Clark.